League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
For those of you that have been enduring the first 2 hours of the three-hour extravaganza, we appreciate you on ESPN 97.5. We'd like to welcome in SportsMap 94.1 for their everyday occurrence where they jump in from 3 to 4. Here with us on The Suspects, it's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, all present and accounted for. We've talked about a lot of stuff already during the course of the day. Props to Houston, who in 5 years will host another Final Four. It was just announced. The 2023 NCAA Final Four will once again be here in the fine city of Houston. So that's a feather in the cap and another job well done by the city. That's very cool. AJ Hinch has named Chris Sale his starter for tomorrow night's All-Star game.
Smart move.
And Max Scherzer will be the starter in the National League.
Okay.
So that information is out there as well.
Before we get to Clarence's call real quick, because we won't spend a ton of time on it, but I saw your Bleacher Report article of the midseason awards. Anything stand out that you agreed or disagreed with?
There were a few, but I was like, since it's midseason, I'm not going to make a big deal of it. But, you know, go ahead. Have at it.
I mean, so I guess you didn't have any strong opinion on any of it or what?
Well, I mean, I didn't get in depth on all of it. I put it on the rundown and figured we were going to discuss it as we went. We could go, you know, award by award if you wanted to, but I didn't know how the show would go.
Well, I don't care about comeback player of the years, so we don't have to do that. But AL, this is midseason awards, by the way. AL manager of the year, Kevin Cash, Tampa Bay Rays. You good with that?
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Because no one thought the Rays were going to be anywhere close. Oakland, I think Melvin.
Yeah,
probably should get some consideration.
Yeah,
as well.
But also, I got to give it to Scott Servais in Seattle.
That's a good point.
I mean, that dude, he's done a hell of a job. When you consider that they're second in that division, and no one thought Seattle or Oakland for that matter, but
it just baffles me because I played against him growing up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and even when he made it to the majors, you're like, well, okay, that's cool. He's gonna have and he had a heck of a good career, even some time here in Houston. But I just didn't picture him as being a managerial type guy. And you're right, he's knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, there's
no doubt about it.
Doing a great job. And then in the National League, they have Craig Counsell, Milwaukee Brewers, as their midseason manager of the year.
And ironically, another guy I've played against ever since I've been little.
Really? Yeah. His batting stance always weirded me out.
Oh, my God. The weirdest, wavy bat.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But I think that's a great choice. But I'd take Brian Snitker out of Atlanta.
I agree with you. As good as Counsell's been, and I held no ill feelings about the fact he played for our arch rivals in high school. I just think that no one expected, you and I have talked about on the show before, the Braves were a couple years away from being back on track and being a contending type team or a team that would fight for a playoff spot. No one would, I don't think at the midway point, would have said in that division they'd be in first place.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, I expected the Brewers to be good. I didn't know how good, but I expected them to be pretty good. No one, I think, saw how well the Braves have done. Even though they've slipped now, Phillies have surpassed them, which again, the Phillies are another team that you could give Gabe Kapler some mention as well.
Well, after he didn't have anybody warming in the pen that time, I'm still holding
that first week.
Him,
yeah. All right, so on to Rookie of the Year. They have AL Rookie of the Year, Gleyber Torres from the Yankees.
Are you okay with that? Because here's the thing. Because he's in New York, and we deal with this a lot when we start talking about Astros versus Yankees stuff, not only do I think this guy's got overhyped, though he's really, really good, but also to be the all-star starter?
Well, I don't know about that necessarily.
Or to be an all-star. That kind of stuff, it may be too soon for him, but he's a hell of a talent.
So you're not good with him being the rookie of the year thus far?
I mean, I'm fine because since he's come up, he's done really well.
Who would you put in his place?
I'd have to go back and look at all of the list. I mean, obviously, preseason, everybody wanted Ohtani, but he just, the injury has set him back. No names pop into my head right now.
Yeah, I think right now it's Gleyber Torres, and it's not even close because of the injuries with Ohtani. Had Ohtani been able to stay healthy, then I'm with you. National League, they have Miami Marlins' Brian Anderson as their midseason rookie of the year. You good with that?
Sure.
Okay. I kind of like this cat out of Philly, that Sir Anthony Dominguez. I would give it to him at this point. When you look at what he's done, the numbers he's putting up, dude has pitched in 30-some-odd games. He's got 33 innings. He has a 1.60 ERA, and he's struck out 43 batters with a .65 whip. It's ridiculous, the numbers that this cat is putting up as a rookie pitcher and on a team that wasn't supposed to be good.
For sure.
Yeah.
But does the pitcher cost him? Because he's not an everyday player?
Sure, it does. But he's got 9 saves. I mean, this dude is, you talk about, you know, we've been preaching about back into the bullpen and getting lockdown closers. This dude's a rookie, and he's already pitching like a lockdown closer. So remember that name, Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Hard to forget.
Oh, damn it. I just closed the article.
Sir Anthony.
Yeah, isn't that a weird, the way it's spelled too isn't like you would think. All right, Cy Young Award.
Okay,
Chris Sale in the AL.
I have a little Homer in me in this one, and the way Verlander started the year when they were talking about one of the all-time great seasons in the history of baseball and everything else, obviously with 4 home runs given up yesterday. He hasn't gotten a win in over a month. Not that it's been his fault, but it's hard to argue with what Chris Sale and the Red Sox have been able to do. It's a tough pill to swallow, but as it sits right now, I think they got it right.
Yeah, I think you've got – if Verlander wasn't 9-5 then I think it's a bit different story, but he hasn't even cracked double digits in wins yet. I mean, hell, Charlie Morton has more wins than Verlander does. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get the, and he's.
So does Garrett Cole.
Yeah, and these guys are probably taking votes away from each other. So unfortunately for Verlander, that kind of sucks, but I'm with you. I think it's between Chris Sale and Corey Kluber right now. Although, you know, there's cases to be made for other guys like Severino.
God, he's pitching well.
Yeah. So
he's really turned into be a horse.
NL Cy Young, Jacob DeGrom out of New York. You good with that?
I'm not.
No?
Just because of how bad the Mets are and how bad they've been.
But this more than MVP is individual performance related.
I get it. And I expect that Scherzer's going to have a good second half too. But to me, just with all things considered, and maybe it's just personal bias too, but I want to see Scherzer get there because of the season that the team has had as well. And the fact that he should be in it every year.
What's wild is it's basically a 3-horse race from 3 teams in the same division. You've got Max Scherzer with the Nats, you got DeGrom with the Mets, and then you got the Aaron Nola out of Philadelphia. All 3 of these cats have an opportunity to be a Cy Young Award winner if they pitch like they did in the first half and the second half. But I'm good with DeGrom. I kind of felt like somebody on that team was going to break out, but I thought it was going to be Noah Syndergaard. I thought he would be the guy that would win that NL Cy Young. Not the case. AL MVP Mike Trout. Good with that?
He's like LeBron. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be in the discussion every year. And people want to poo-poo on him here because he's in the division and everything like that. I think he could win it every year. And I think that's why sometimes he'll lose votes because of it. But again, if you look at his numbers and everything that he has going for him, he leads all of baseball with on-base percentage, you know, has a 3-ton batting average, slugging over .600, 25 bombs. I don't know how you can't be good with it. Obviously, there are 2 guys in Boston that have something to say about it as well. But overall, sure, I'm fine with it.
The only big beef I have, I think there's no doubt Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, without a doubt. But I don't know if he's the most valuable this year, because if he was, then the Angels wouldn't be 14 games back in their own division. They're sitting 4th in their division. That doesn't show a lot of value.
Isn't that crazy? Do you think that's all Ohtani? Because remember, early in the year now, they were right there at the top of the division too, and in competition for everything, looking like they're going to be the mainstay. We were talking about how improved they were. They lose Ohtani and they lost everything.
Yeah, they've got a +24 run differential. So it's not, you know, when you consider teams like the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Yankees are all above 130, 140, 160. Astros at 188, as a matter of fact. I feel like that, yeah, some of it is Ohtani not being there, and maybe some of it was the Angels kind of coming back down to earth. They started out great, and now they're playing like I think people expected. But I think there's no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt that Mike Trout is the best player on the planet.
Right.
But I got to go Betts. When you look at the Red Sox, best record in baseball, they have they've almost winning 70% of their games. For me, if you've got a guy that's playing as well as he's playing and keeping pace with guys like Mike Trout at the plate, I got to give it to him. And then the last one, the NL MVP, Nolan Arenado. You good with that? I think it's hands down. To me, Freddie Freeman and what the Braves are doing, Nolan Arenado has pieces around him, and he plays in a hitter's park. He's the best defensive third baseman in baseball.
Defense factors in.
That's great. But what Freddie Freeman is doing with those Atlanta Braves, I got to go him as the most valuable guy on his team right now.
I think you go either way there. And the second half of the season will play it out. But, yeah, I'm fine with Arenado just because his defense is fantastic.
It really is, yeah. So,
all right, Clarence, we see you. Hang in there. We'll get you to open up the next break because you want to talk a little football. We'll change gears again. We're able to do that, so you can too. We'll be back with more on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still in the final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We talked a little midseason awards for baseball previous break. Clarence has been holding patiently. We should get him in here a little bit, talk a little football. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? How's it going?
Yo. What's up, dude? Yo, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. I'm not going to say I don't believe he deserves a long-term contract. I just don't think he's ever going to get one, considering that he's already been in the league 7 years, and he has some wear on his tire. He's been averaging almost 30 carries a game the past two seasons. Plus, he had an ACL tear. Plus, he had an ACL sprain. Plus, he had that groin injury going back. Yeah, man, running backs, we all know, if we play football, we watch football, we know football, running backs do not last too long in the league. And he's approaching that 10-year mark where the Steelers feel that they should not give him a long-term contract. And I don't know why he's asking for one, knowing that all of his injuries that he had and knowing that he's approaching on the downside of his career. I just wanted to get your guys' takes on it and see what's going on.
Appreciate the call, Clarence, as always. Thank you. Yeah, for me, the fact that he's 26 lets me know he's still got some tread on his tires. He just had one of his better years of his career last year. The most attempts, most touchdowns, and most receptions that he's had as a running back since coming into the league. So he didn't have, quite the yards total, but he still put up over 1,200 for the year, almost 1,300. And like I said, his age doesn't concern me yet. If he was 28 or 29 and looking for a long-term deal as a running back, that's an old man. But he still has 3 or 4 years left in him, I think. And I would try to give him what he wants. He's one of the best backs in the league.
Look what he did. Was it last year when he missed all of camp, held out, but the minute he put the pads back on, he put the numbers back up. So he definitely has a ton left in the tank. I wouldn't go more than a 4 or 5 year deal with him, regardless of where he gets his money. But he knows he still has a ton of value. He knows he still can get it done better than most, if not anybody else in this league. And like you said, you bring in the element of pass catching as well as what he does running the football. And he has all the value in the world. But if the Steelers don't see it, he also has to protect his best interest and say, look, I'm tired of doing this, and I have to protect my long-term best interest, that one of these days, one of these times, and maybe it's this year, where if today's the deadline, look, you guys can make the offer. I can still hold out. And if I don't get the long-term deal, because teams always say, hey, sign the deal, and then we'll work towards a long-term solution, and we'll get it done before the fact, you know, that we get to training camp. If that doesn't get done, again, we talk about Clint Capela taking the 1 year and then, you know, playing himself into being an unrestricted free agent or getting his big payday. What if they get hurt? What if their whole future gets cut short because you're getting screwed around by your own team that you've been loyal to? So, you know what? I think he's gotten, like you said, I think there's still plenty of tread on the tires. I think you just have to be, at a certain point, there's a breaking point where you just say, look, we're either going to get this done this time, and he did threaten this last year towards the end of the season. Look, I'm not going to do the same thing again, and yet here we are.
It's over, though. I mean, the deadline was about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, the deadline to, yeah. So
he'll probably be a Steeler for one more season, and then he'll sign somewhere else.
Well, yeah, well, it depends if they offer him the most versus anybody else, because if they want to keep him. But, yeah.
Well, he's franchise tag.
He's franchise tag now, but don't forget, he can also hold out. He doesn't have to play. Adam Schefter, I believe, was the one that was saying on Twitter that it's possible he could sit out a half a year.
But when you look at what
which
he's
is
getting franchise tag,
no
right? And he's, if you look at what he wanted, $14.5 million, and I think the franchise tag is 13. It was only $2.5 million more than he.
But this is a guy who, until last year, he certainly wasn't making his value. And I have no problem with a guy that, hey, look, I signed this deal. My first year, I made $1.7 million. Then I make $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, and I'm one of the best back, if not the best running back in the National Football League, making $800,000 a year. He finally gets a payday in 2017 and makes $12 million because of the franchise tag. I don't have a problem with this guy expecting to be paid. He's earned it. Mm-hmm. It's different than if you've got a guy who's just kind of a middle of the road back or worse, but wanting a long-term 4-year deal. This is the premier or a premier running back in the NFL. It's completely different. I mean, dude, he was 6 yards behind Todd Gurley.
And think about, like I said, all the time he missed.
Yeah.
But they're not giving those contracts. But what about the fact that they're not giving out those contracts anymore?
Like, some teams are.
To running backs. They haven't gave up. According to ESPN, I think it's been like 5 years since they gave a running back a contract of more than $10 million.
Well, per year. I will say this. His asking price is a little steep. He wants to be paid as one of the best players overall in the league, like talking quarterback type money, and that might be a little too steep.
Yeah, the last time they had a deal similar to that, I think it was Peterson and Chris Johnson, and that wasn't until at least this is according to ESPN.com. I think it was back in 2011.
So
running backs are not getting paid that money anymore.
His agent has come out today and said, Le'Veon's intention was to retire a Steeler, but now that there's no deal, the practical reality is this is likely his last season as a Steeler. And then Le'Veon Bell himself came out on Twitter and said, to all my Steeler fans, my desire always has been to retire a Steeler. Both sides worked extremely hard today to make that happen, but the NFL is a hard business at times. To the fans that had hope, I'm sorry we let you down, but trust me, 2018 will be my best season to date. So it sounds like he's going to take it and do it again and roll the dice. And just be free at the end of the year.
I was looking up top salaries for backs in the NFL. 2018 running back. This is cash. Now, I'm trying to find, we can do it differently, but if you're just looking at cash, his Le'Veon Bell at 14.5 is the highest. Jerick McKinnon is getting $12 million this year. And then the fall off is half of that. Third on the list is Rashad Penny out in Seattle with $6.3 million. And then LeSean McCoy at 6, Deion Lewis at 6, Lamar Miller at 5.7, Carlos Hyde at 5.5. So, I mean, you're right in that the 5 million or the 14 million is a lot. And I think his value probably is about 10 million, maybe 11, 12. So, but that's still like, dude, these running backs, I know that it's not a position of that people go out and draft and you feel like guys can give you. But when you have the elite of the elite guys, you don't just let those guys walk. They don't. I don't know. It to me, there's a big difference between Le'Veon Bell and then you look at like number 10 on this list in Rex Burkhead.
So absolutely. 4 or 5 years.
I'm not saying Rex Burkhead is the 10th best player, but he's receiver, the 10th highest paid.
You have arguably the best receiver and the best running back in football if you keep those two guys together. And like you said, that doesn't, the opportunity to have that doesn't come along every day. You want to wrap him up. But also, like I said, his price tag has been high. If by taking the offer, it's going to be $12.1 million as of February 27, 2017. That's what they tagged him at. Now, for this year, he wanted $14.5 million. The Steelers opened up at $13.3 million. They couldn't find a common ground, and they are where they are today.
But if he wanted a $14 million a year for 4 years or whatever, I don't know that that's
difficult. 14 a year for 4 years.
Yeah, look at how quickly Adrian Peterson fell off from being the MVP of the league and all the things that
he did.
But
remember, guys, these contracts aren't fully guaranteed. So if you guarantee half of that in the last 2 years, you got your both sides win. Because you're not having to really pay the last 2 years. You can cut him in 2 years, but he got his money. And he's probably wanting more than half guaranteed, but I mean, I don't know. I look at, like, I'm looking at Devontae Freeman's contract, and, you know, he's right now, value-wise, he's got the highest because of the 1 year that he had $16 million up front last year. But, I mean, he's at $14 million, $2 million, $3 million, $6 million, $6 million, and $8 million over the next 5 years.
Well, he definitely wants to be a trendsetter because after this exclusive rights tag, he'll have made 26.62 in the last 2 years, and he wants to test free agency as a true free agent at 27 years of age, saying he still has tread on the tires. He also said he wants to be the trendsetter that sets the table for guys like Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott to do the same thing in future years.
But again, keep in mind that these contracts are also front-loaded. That's why that number was so big for Devontae Freeman up front. Jerick McKinnon, the guy I just told you is making $12 million this year.
Yeah, how long of
Vikings,
a deal?
It's right. A four-year deal. It's $12 million up front, $4 million the next year, right. $6.8 million the following right. year, and $7.2. But you add all that up and divide it by four, and you're going to get what his average is. So I think Le'Veon Bell, what he's saying is, I want a long-term deal, but I want to front-load the money. So, you know, if he's wanting $14 or $15 million up front, I mean, give it to him. He's gonna be worth it the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what he really wants. Maybe there's not. No indication that he said that. There's nothing.
Yeah, we don't know and how the contract's written, the agents or whatever it is that
he's
like
asking
that.
For. Yeah, so. Yeah, because usually what they're going to get per year isn't going to be what they get when they're franchised. That number's always going to be higher. So even if it's $11 million, I don't know. I think he's worth it to me, at least for 2 years. If you did a $40 million deal and the first 2 years were 22 of it guaranteed, I would do that. You guys wouldn't pay him $20 million over the next 2 years to be my running back?
I'm thinking business, cheap, running back, but risk of getting injury.
Okay.
That's just me personally, though.
I would do that, but would he do that?
Well, I don't know.
Sounds like he and his agent have a certain number in mind, and if they're not going to get that on the annual, they're not going to do it.
And they talked about how the talks have
stalled. And,
no momentum whatsoever.
None. They're far apart. That's why he ended up getting franchised. I have a number in mind. How about $500,000 guaranteed? That's Steelhouse Poker Club talking that number. That's a great number, man. This is Steelhouse Poker Club, the folks that brought you the largest opening weekend in the history of Texas poker. They're back, bigger and better than ever. That original opening weekend was $100,000 guaranteed. That prize pool ended up swelling to almost $250,000 for their opening weekend. It was outstanding opening weekend. I was lucky enough to be able to participate in that. I had a blast, and I'm telling you what, after this past weekend, watching that World Series of Poker, if you're not into poker before that, you probably are now. And this is a great way to get engaged and get started. Get out there to Steelhouse Poker Club and get in on the action. You've played online. You're ready to take it to the next level. Get out to Steelhouse Poker Club, I-45 North and West Road. Whether you've been playing for a while or you're brand new, the staff is friendly. The folks out there are kind. The table that I sat at, it was full of great people that we just had a good time playing poker. No pressure. And they've got tons of tables. They've got 20 tables for you to play at. They've got TVs on the walls, so you never miss the games. They've got mixers and so forth. If you bring your drinks, they're ready to go right there for you. If you want, like me, you want a Crown and Coke, you can do that. You bring your Crown, they've got some Coke for you, there you go. They've got some milkshakes and pizza slices. They've got food trucks out front. Dude, everything there for you. And don't forget, Friday night, lingerie night. Why wouldn't you want to go play poker on Friday night during lingerie night? It's awesome. Like I said, 20 tables, and then the money that they give away every week is ridiculous, $75,000 guaranteed. But here's the catch. They've got daily cash games that start at 2 p.m. Those cash games are one of the best ways and the easiest way to earn a seat in that $500,000 tournament. Get on the ball right now. Go to steelhousepoker.com for all the information on the $500,000 tournament, those cash games, and all the weekly prizes that they have. It is steelhousepoker.com. That's steelhousepoker.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, you know how I like to do it around here? We play the name game. We've been playing it for quite a while, and you guys have a chance to win because of it, because we all have a name at the end of the day. Some are ones that we have on our driver's license, and some are ones that people call us on a daily basis, if not quicker. You know how we do it, where we call two names. If one of those is your name, you try and be the first caller, and you win the prize. Today's prize, a $50 gift certificate to Prime Social Poker Club, where you can take your game to the next level in a comfortable, upscale setting, full-service restaurant and bar, best poker in town. We are not the show to do the giveaway today, but I will give you a little tip here. If you listen to the Blitz at 6:30, you might have yourself a chance to win the name game on ESPN 975 and, of course, SportsMap 94.1.
Somebody texted and said, hey, what do you guys think about the Texans adding Jamaal Charles for depth? Thoughts?
Well, you know, I wrote the article to kick the tires on Adrian Peterson. I don't care who it is, but I think that depth worries me a little bit right now with Foreman coming back from a major injury. We know Miller's workload has been up over the last couple years anyway. And the other guys are just basically special teamers and, you know, Blue and those guys. Okay, fine. I would be fine kicking the tires at a, you know, because it's, as long as it doesn't cost you anything, and it shouldn't, unless AP comes in and says, I got to have this much money to play. He said he'd like to try the Texans. If Charles, another UT product, is,
yeah, another Texas guy,
is close and available, you know, for training camp, as long as there's not a big financial commitment, why not?
I think you'll see those guys catch on somewhere once.
I agree.
Camp opens up and there's going to be injuries in running back, whether it's starters or in the depth chart itself, and they're going to be looking for veteran backs. And
Buffalo?
And I would be okay with taking a look at Jamaal Charles, though. I mean, the texter said he averaged 4 yards a carry. I looked it up. Limited. I mean, he didn't have a ton of carries last year, but that's okay. I mean, you're not expecting him to come in and be a starter. But if he can still get it done, maybe, you know, third down back, I don't know if you need another one with Lamar Miller and, you know, Foreman as well, but take a look.
The good thing is he's probably going in with the mentality that he's not going to be able to demand an enormous amount of money.
No, so, he's old. Yeah, I mean, he's 31 years old.
So that's the positive
by running
of
back.
It.
So we just got done talking about by running back years. He's applying for retirement.
So if he goes in with that mentality and they get him on the deal and he has like a, you know, a second coming, or he, you know, has this great year, it could be a great, you know, you can get him at great value.
The flip side of that is, though, what always worries me is if no one else is picking him up, there's a reason. Yep. If no one else, if Denver doesn't want him anymore, if no one else is taking a look at AP, if no one is taking a look at Jamaal Charles, just because the name, you know, rings truer here in Texas because they're Texas kids that we watched in college, doesn't necessarily mean it's a smart football move to go after Jamaal Charles or Adrian Peterson just because of their names and their background. And so it has to worry you a little bit.
And again, Barry's right, because you got to take into consideration that whole hometown discount thing, or that hometown, you know, looking for the local kid to do whatever. But it goes to the Jabari Parker signing that with the Bulls this weekend as well, where Jabari Parker is a Chicago kid. Jabari Parker was the number one player in the country coming out that chose Duke. He wore Derrick Rose's number at the same high school. Everybody had all these grandiose ideas for Jabari Parker. Well, to Barry's point, there's a reason why not only the team that he played for, the Milwaukee Bucks, didn't want him, but if he was worth all of that, some other team in the league would have given him some kind of an offer close to what he was looking for to try and say, this dude's talented as hell. But at the end of the day, the hometown team, the Bulls, gave him $20 million a year, and no one else was out there knocking on the door to give him anything else.
Yeah.
But he has to prove himself in that year.
He now has a year to prove himself, right? But it's a 2-year deal, and what people don't even realize is that second year, it's the team option.
Right.
So if the team says after a year, yeah, we might have overextended.
Oops.
Yeah, we're going to just say bye-bye.
All right, this came in. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Barry, I went to the restroom at work. A guy came in, goes to the toilet. Then I hear what sounds like a bag of chips open up, followed by chewing.
Yeah. You already know what we think about that.
I would hang outside of the restroom and identify who that person is and then shame them to hell for the rest of my time at that company. Who eats while they're pooping? Like, really? If you just wanted to eat the chips in silence, go to your car. Like, if you just go for a walk around the building,
they're multitasking.
Go to the.
So they're taking care of business and they're taking care of their.
What's worse, that or having? I don't know if you know how digestion works, but this chips ain't going through that fast.
I'm not saying that it's all connected to one sitting. I'm saying they had the urge, they felt a song coming on, they went to take care of that, and at the same time they were a little hungry and figured, well, I get a snack too.
You gotta wait. You can't be eating while you're pooping.
I think that's ten times worse than the person that we've talked about in the past that goes in the stall and starts talking on the phone.
That's what I was just asking next. I was like, what's worse, that or
eating
talking on
with
the phone?
The hygiene aspect is way worse than talking on the phone.
Look, you're on your phone when you're on the can. You probably have all kinds of germs on that iPhone or that Android.
Guess what I'm not doing? Put it in my mouth. That's what I'm not doing. I'm not putting it in my mouth.
It's just all over your
fingers,
which is all over.
Actually, I just cleaned my screen this morning.
All over your microphone.
Driving in.
Just fucking up the studio.
Whatever. You go poop and eat chips. That sounds like something you do. Hey, breaking news. Bob McNair fires GM Brian Gaines. Sources confirm John Schnatter to be the replacement.
I was shocked at that, but someone must have...
Papa John's is getting hired as a GM now. Look, Lance ran over like, is it Schnatter or Schnader?
Or Schmader?
Schnader.
Is it an M or an A?
Lance thought that was real news. He runs over like, what the hell? Yeah, they just hired Papa John's to be the GM of the Texans. I wonder why. That's so weird.
Talk about a deal that dude's got. Being the founder, you know, he resigned as the chairman, but he still owns the company. And then for the University of Louisville, they have the naming rights. It's Papa John's Arena. But he wrote into the contract, if at any time he so desires, he can change the name to whatever he wants it to be, depending on what happens with Papa John's. Probably an insurance policy in case Papa John's didn't go well and the company went under or for whatever reason. But now, because of all this, Louisville says they're going to change the name from Papa John's Arena. He's like, well, you better ask me what I want to call it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why would you want to change it? That's not a smart move anyway. Just deal with the PR
damage.
And
it could be anything?
I guess so.
Dude, anything.
Well, I mean... Okay.
I mean, he does.
Well, what does the contract say? Because if it could be anything, and I'm Papa John's, and they change the name, and I get to flex my muscle and change it back, I'm changing it to Kiss My Ass Papa John's Stadium. Now change it could be anything I want. Then guess what I'm going with?
But this is not the first time he's been in trouble, right? Because he went from CEO to a chairman on the board. Now he's not even a chairman on the board after this incident. Because there was something else that happened.
So he had the whole thing during which started with the anthem controversy.
Yeah, the anthem,
where
that's
he came out and
he criticized
said
the NFL,
that the NFL and all this anthem stuff.
That's what it was.
They were losing money.
His company to lose money.
And then that's when he
pulled the sponsorship from the NFL, which the NFL found Pizza Hut within days and replaced that.
Amazing how that
and
works.
And then they were on a conference call recently to talk about proper HR techniques and to be more overall, not just politically correct, but handle things the right way. And he decides to not only drop the N-bomb, but say that Colonel Sanders back in the day would use the N-bomb on the regular.
No, I think not the exact quote, but if I'm paraphrasing, he said, I don't understand. It used to be where Colonel Sanders would call them the N-word,
but he actually said
the N-word.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
And he was on a conference call, and obviously someone was offended and let somebody know. Or let
you
the
know
right
why?
People know.
Because he was working with a new marketing team for that very reason, for sensitivity.
Yeah, sensitivity training. There you go.
You stupid ass. Like, you deserve everything that's going to happen
so
to you.
Successful.
And then he tripled down. He did a radio interview after that and tried to pull the woe is me card and everything else. It's like, dude, quit while you're way behind.
Way, way behind. Which is also a theme for Steelhouse Poker Club. Don't be way, way behind. Get out there and play some poker with a chance to win $500,000 in their upcoming guaranteed $500,000 tournament in October. One of the easiest ways to get a seat in that $500,000 tournament is by getting in on their cash games. I mentioned a little bit before about their cash games. Check this out now. Every day, starting at 2 p.m., they have cash games that run all day long. You get in, you get out, you get a little poker under your belt. You get yourself ready for that tournament coming up in October. Think about this now. The guys that won the World Series of Poker, the guy that won it had some experience. The other two guys that made the main table, the two of the last three, their career earnings were like $95,000. That's nothing in the poker world. You don't have to be a poker genius. Get a little lucky, get a little good, play a little poker. Who knows? You might win win your share of $500,000 out there at Steelhouse Poker Club. But you're not going to know what you can do until you get out there and start playing. So I recommend getting in on some of those daily cash games. You might even try out some of their tournaments. They have single day tournaments that run all week, every day except Saturdays. So that'll kind of give you an idea, if you've never played in a tournament, what it's like before you get ready for this October tournament that's coming up. They also give away $75,000 guaranteed payouts every week, Monday through Sunday, $7,500 Monday through Thursday, $15,000 on Friday, $25,000 on Saturday, and oh, for good measure, another $5,000 on Sundays. Don't forget lingerie night on Fridays. Don't forget that they've got 20 tables and a ton of TVs. So listen, you're not going to miss the game. If you get out there on the weekend to play some poker, you can still see it. And oh yeah, Fridays is lingerie night. Don't forget that as well. I-45 North and West Road, super easy to get to right there on the feeder. So no having to take back roads and sit through lights on some of these busy streets in Midtown and whatnot. I-45 North and West Road. For more information on the tournaments and the daily cash games, go to SteelhousePoker.com. That's SteelhousePoker.com. SteelhousePoker.com.
ESPN 97.5. Do you really want it? This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Fred is out enjoying some time off in Canada. That means today,
oh,
an old friend stopping by.
Who?
Matt Jackson is in the house.
Matt Jackson
will be on the Blitz. Now, that's worth listening to.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing it Wednesday. Are you doing it Tuesday?
No.
Yeah, you didn't take him up on his offer. Why
Damn
not?
Damn right I didn't.
I wish you could have seen it. And she was like, hey, Joel, you want to fill in on Tuesday? He's like, I'll be busy.
I heard you and AJ talk about it, but I didn't.
I'll probably be busy.
I said, I honestly, if you want my direct quote was, hilarious. I don't think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, and then he goes, why not? You got something going on? And Joel goes, I'll probably be busy.
Yep.
Like, in other words, no matter what, I'm going to find something else to do.
And I even put the prerequisite in there, that because he said, had Jong talked to you yet? And I said, if it's in a pinch and we need someone to do it, then I would do it. But otherwise, no.
Oh, my God. That would be... Who would...
For your guys' little buddy system in here, around here, it would be entertaining and fun. For me, it wouldn't. So that's why it went down the way it did.
I'm sitting here just thinking, like...
What the buddy system, though? Let's talk about the buddy system.
That's a little much.
I'm not talking about you in this case, Nick, but Barry happens to be good friends with AJ.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're okay with it now?
Yeah. As long as he ain't talking about me, he's talking about you.
There's no buddy. I mean, yeah, we're friends, but that has nothing to do with it.
Of course it doesn't. So anyway, what else would you like to speak about?
Oh, my God. Well, there was this, somebody said, because we were talking about eating chips while pooping, and somebody said, yeah, have you ever had a cup of coffee in the morning while pooping?
Never.
You know, drink your coffee on the...
But we've talked about this. I'm get in, get out guy.
Yeah, I'm not consuming anything, honestly. I would tell you, but I'm not consuming anything.
So I do take my coffee in, but...
See, you're just as disgusting as everybody else.
Listen, I have a lid on it. I use... All of my coffee cups are... I get them from Sam's, and they're kind of like the... Almost like a Starbucks cup.
It's a solo cup.
Yes,
with a lid.
The black lid on it. Yeah.
Lisa uses them.
What
too?
If something splashes back up and it like goes down the tiny straw and into the
cup?
But
aren't you still putting your mouth on the lid that happens to be in that same area? And didn't you say in the past that fecal matter floats around and gets in the air and everything?
Well, I used to think that poop floated. That has actually been debunked by Mythbusters.
Well, you said it on the air, though.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. And then someone told me that Mythbusters debunked that. That having your toothbrush in the same room where you poop, that doesn't mean poop particles float onto it. That was debunked. I was very surprised about that. So, yeah, I'll take my coffee in there on occasion if it's super early.
How long are you in there?
Like 20, 30 minutes. No big deal.
No.
What?
Like I said, I'm in and out guy. I got a lot going on. I'm like trying to gauge
what are you, like 5 minutes?
Oh, less. Probably less than that.
Less than that?
Dude, I've got a kid in a high chair trying to eat breakfast. And I'm like, can I get her to pay enough attention to the food for 5 minutes?
I can do that. At home, no, I take my time.
How long does it take you?
Like 20 minutes.
Okay, so then I'm not weird.
No, you're not crazy.
20, 30 minutes is about... That's, dude, man, you'd be surprised.
You don't play Tetris?
Right. Candy what? Crush? You don't get Candy Crush going?
No.
Burn through a cell phone battery?
That's a long-ass
song. You know you take long when you take your charger to go poof.
Now, that's bad.
That's a lot of
you have apps using up.
Yeah.
So does your bathroom break. God, no.
So who's doing the Blitz Tuesday, do you know?
No idea. Oh, it's on the schedule that you don't read.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Junk sends it out day by day. I think Jerome's doing Thursday and Friday. Matt's doing today. You're doing which day?
Wednesday.
So, yeah, it's just Tuesday.
I was originally scheduled for Tuesday.
I'll probably look it up for you.
And then they were like, hey, can you do Wednesday instead? So I'm guessing whoever their first choice was said yes. So then I got bumped because I certainly wasn't first choice.
Survey says it was you and Granato on Wednesday.
Oh, so Granato must have had a golf appointment. So,
they probably
switch.
Flipped you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerome Thursday and Friday.
There you go.
Fred sending out some great pictures. Said it was a long flight, but boy, Canada is beautiful this time of year, don't you know? You betcha.
Speaking of that, so you know I'm in L.A. like third week of August for a week for the Burbank Comedy Festival. And I had to book my flight now because I had that app that I told you about. That was kept reminding me of flight, you know, prices and when they're going to be the lowest. Yeah, it really did. The only problem is, dude, you got to be careful when you book flights nowadays.
There's a lot to pay attention to. Otherwise, next thing you know, you're
paying an extra $50 or more. So I was like, all right, the hopper said that the cheapest flight to LA from Houston was like $220.
It's a good deal.
Round trip. So I look and it's Spirit. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. So let me pull up Southwest. Let me pull up United and let me pull up American. So I pulled them all up. Same trip dates, right? Leaving on Sunday, coming back on the following Sunday. And like United and those guys were like $309, I think United was.
Not bad.
No. But then that doesn't include your checked bags. And they don't charge you until you get to the airport. And it's at least $25 one way per checked bag. So
that's some BS.
You pay $309 plus all the taxes. And then you show up and it's another $25 plus taxes one way. So that's another $50. So then I'm like, no, that's like $360 now. And I got the entire flight, including my checked bags on Spirit for $260.
Oh, you're on Spirit?
Yeah.
That's a disaster.
I flew it to St. Paul. When Andy and I went up there and worked a joke joint up there in Minnesota, and no problems. The seats aren't comfortable. It's like you might as well be riding on a lawn chair on an airplane.
They're not
comfortable at
and that's
all.
That's what, 4 hours from here to LA?
LA, yeah, it's a 3.5 hour flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's going to suck on Spirit, but I get my backpack, which I'll probably put some stuff, you know, clothes, laptop, and stuff like that. But I get one check bag. I don't require a lot. I mean, I just a couple pairs of shorts, a couple pairs of jeans, a couple shirts, whatever. But it was $25 or $32. It was $32 to check a bag one way. But with the flights being so cheap, that it still ended up being like $260 to get to LA
and
round
Southwest
trip.
Southwest is the only airline that doesn't charge.
They
for
were
bags.
The most expensive. That's
so
why.
So their flight is more expensive.
Yeah,
right.
They were like $350, $360. But that was it. And I got to drive from the Woodlands or Spring all the way down to Hobby. And that's
See,
not worth
that's
it.
That's what Lisa's mom did when she did the reverse and flew out of L.A. to come here. She got an unbelievable. She got $179. But she had to do the red eye. She had to go fly overnight. Mm-hmm. With a layover in Denver for
not
a couple
that
hours.
Bad. But I've done a red eye before. They're not that bad. I mean, you can handle it. It just depends on like what you were doing the whole day.
Well, see, I'm flying out there in the morning and coming back in the afternoon because when I go out there, I'm not getting a car. I'm staying with my buddy Kazim. And so he's got a car and he's going to, you know, and he lives 15 minutes from where the festival's taking place. So that's convenient. And then when I come back, I don't have Nora come pick me up at 2 a.m. on a Sunday when she's got to work. Mm-hmm. I do think I'm going to go out a day early. I think instead of, I was going to fly out Sunday morning and get there and then register for the first day of the festival and get ready, get all my media stuff out of the way. But now I think I'm going to go Saturday because I want to swing by the comedy store and catch a show and go to the main room and the belly room and all that and check all that stuff out. So I think I'm going to go a day early just to hang out. Especially since I don't have to pay for a hotel.
Bron, maybe grab some grub.
No. But I don't have to pay for a hotel, dude.
That's great.
All I have is food and flight. That's it.
Yeah, that's...
And I'll be in there for 7 to 9 days in L.A. And all I got to pay for is food and flight.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And living the dream.
There you have it. All right, we'll be back tomorrow as we continue to roll on. Got plenty more on the agenda. If you guys got things that are brewing, you know how to reach us. And even off hours, we're always available normally on Twitter. So for Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. You guys have a great evening. And like I said, the Blitz is next. Fred is out. Matt Jackson's in. That all right here on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.